The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
Wonderful.
We're with Aaron Pierce for the second week in a row. Aaron is a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. He has an extensive background in landscaping, lawns, gardening, all that good stuff.
Hi. It's great to be here again.
We're happy you are with us. You're also known to many people as the plant doctor, right?
I have been called doctor before, yes.
Okay, wonderful. We're looking for an excellent discussion with you. Once again, we're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. discussing everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing and selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners live webcam and see what's going on at the corners.
As the conditions are going to change for winter weather, it's a great place to check out the local roads in our area to see how they are under stormy conditions. Right, Pep?
I had a friend of mine in California. He would click on there and say, oh, it's snowing over there. It's not snowing here in California. Then I would hang up on him.
Yes. They do. People in sunny weather, when we're experiencing snow, cold, ice, and all that good stuff, like to rub it in,
yep.
Don't they?
Yep.
Look us up on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. View our listings, search the MLS listings, listen to archive radio shows, or view realtor videos by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Once again, Aaron Pierce, the plant doctor, now a full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. There are some things we didn't get to discuss last week because we ran out of time, but we're talking about what we need to do in the fall to prepare the outside, the lawns, the shrubs, and the plants for the springtime so they flourish and they are vibrant. We didn't talk about closing out gardens. Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? How do we properly close out a garden?
Well, one of the big things that you can do is to try and get rid of the old, tough plant material. Some of it is easier to break down. You could till it right up in the soil, and you're kind of composting beforehand and not having to put it in the bin. You can just, as long as you get it cut up into smaller pieces, you can till it right into that soil. It'll break down and, again, provide nutrients for the next year. If you've got some thicker plant material, like tomatoes can be very tough with that long, stringy stalk, it's just best to just pull it right out and just get rid of it. And then you can do some fertilizer in the fall. Some people like to do that if they've got, you know, more organic stuff they're mixing in. If you're going to be doing anything that's granular, just wait until the springtime when you till it up and get ready to go at that point, because otherwise over the winter time it would all degrade and you'd have to redo it anyway.
Should we be aerating at this point, our grass, our lawns?
Aerating is usually done in the spring. If you've got a really hard-packed lawn, you can do it now because we're not into winter yet, thankfully. But before we get there, if you can get some aeration, because in especially those older home areas where that soil has just been packed down for years and years, breaking it up with the aerator and letting some oxygen into the roots will really help provide your lawn some nutrients from the air and revitalize it, get it ready to go.
I guess a good way to tell if you need to aerate your lawn is if you're having rainfall pool in certain areas. Is that a good indication that aeration is needed?
A lot of pooling, and also at this time, if you've got some particularly towards the house, you don't want anything up against the foundation, in the fall is a good time to plant grass seed. If you get some of the quicker germinating grasses, you're looking at 7 to 10 days with mild temperatures for it to pop up. So if you need to level those areas out so you have a nice, even amount of soil where you're not getting that pooling when we get a lot of rain, you can go ahead and do that. Add in some topsoil and if you have to do a thicker area, that grass seed will be fine. You can do that now and get it to germinate, and then before the winter time, it'll have set down roots, and then it'll be popping right up in the spring.
Who knew that? Did you know that?
No, I would think you wouldn't even think about seeding in the fall.
Exactly.
A lot of seeding, just because those mild temperatures. And like I said, the grass seed can take those cooler temps, even if it's a light frost. But getting it in now, it'll grow a lot faster than it would in the summer. And then you can fill up those low areas so you don't get that pooling effect. And then that'll help it out because that new soil also is not as packed out. So if you're going to do some aerating, but you're trying to get rid of areas that get swampy, you'll have, you know, those high areas where the grass isn't keeping the water, so it's dying off because all the water is pooling in those other areas, which might be too much water, and your grass is having trouble sustaining that.
Now you're talking about actual, you know, seeding in different, you know, areas of an already existing lawn, so you're patching up these spots. Okay, now what if someone is totally disgusted with their lawn, wants to totally rip it out? Is now the time to do something like that?
Well, again, we have a limited amount of time before winter hits. So if it's a full job and we're getting that close, it might be simpler to wait until the springtime. Because it's going to be covered up with snow, and you're not going to see it as much anyway. And then that way, if you needed to bring in some new soil, you could. But again, if you're going to be doing some smaller patches, so that, you know, if you did get too cold and it killed off the grass seed, you wouldn't feel as bad about, you know, a little bit of grass seed. Go ahead and get it in now. Just if you're doing it in existing grass areas, make sure that you get a hard rake, get that soil nice and loose so that the roots can get a hold.
Okay. Last week we talked about cutting back, trimming certain bushes and plants in our yard. And what about the dead tree branches? Is now the time to get rid of those or wait till spring?
If you've got tree branches that did not leaf out all summer long, do a little test. Take the ends, the very small branches, and give them a bend. And if they snap off, there's no life left in that at all.
There's no bringing it back.
There's no bringing it back.
No resurrecting it.
Right.
Okay.
And so at this time, it's best to trim it off so you don't have that dead branch taking all that heavy weight from the snow. You're going to cut it before the collar. There's a little rounded section on the trunk if you're taking it back that far. You want to cut it outside the collar and then seal it up with a sealant so that you don't get insects or any kind of diseases attacking the tree right there. And also you want to take a look at some of your growing trees. If you have those lower limbs that have kind of branched out sideways underneath everything and they're coming up on the outside of the plant where you would see a lot of heavy snow would lay right on that branch, it's best to trim it now before the snow breaks it, because once it shatters, again, you're leaving a lot of open material where you can get diseases and insects, and then, you know, it might rip down the side of the trunk and you've destroyed the bark, which is its natural protectant.
We have lilacs, these big old lilacs that are on the side of the driveway. Is there anything we could do for them before the winter?
Go ahead and trim them up. Just bring them down, trim them up, shape them up. And then next year in the early spring before they bloom, hit them with some fertilizer, do a little granule 5-10-5. Sprinkle that out around the root system, and then, you know, keep them well watered, depending upon how the rain is, and watch them bloom.
All right, I got to do the lilacs. Put that on the honeydew list, okay, and I'll get right to it.
Well, there's branches that just droop over the...
Yeah, it's wild. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been trimmed in years and years.
Take them right there. Once that bush gets out of control, those different branches can break right off, and they're not doing anything for the plant. So get down in there, do some nice trimming, shape it up, just narrow it down. You can bring the top down a little bit, and you're going to end up with a healthier plant in the spring.
Always afraid to touch that.
Yes.
Because we love our lilacs.
And it's been there for 50 years. It's got to be that old. Of course, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, don't take it right down to the ground.
No, I wouldn't do that.
just do some trimming up. Any of those hanging over branches, go ahead and cut them, because they're just going to keep growing. And you're going to have that long branch extending, and it's going to get longer.
Right,
and
it's right over the driveway. Yeah. It goes right in.
No. Take that off, and then that'll encourage, instead of that single long branch growing, all those other nodes will branch out, so you get a thicker, fuller plant.
How far do I take it back? Right down to the base? Cut it off down there?
Depends on where it's hanging. You don't have to take it all the way to the base. You can bring it in some if it's a stronger branch. If it's shooting out sideways from the bottom, it might be easier to take it off. That way you can mow around it.
Okay.
We never wanted to hurt our lilacs, and we didn't want to eliminate our lilacs. We do like them. That's a great sign of spring, and we love to
have them in May. It smells great back then.
We bring them in the house. We bring them to the office. They're great. Okay. Last week you mentioned mums, and that's a great way to add color to the outside because everything is getting dreary at this time of year. And great point. And you told us all the tips about mums. Is there anything else we can do?
There's also pansies. They're a great fall feature. They are annuals, so don't expect them to come back the next year, although sometimes they do seed, so you see a couple popping up here and there. But the big thing is they take those cool weather temperatures, even a frost. You do want to cover them just so that you don't lose the flowers, but the plant would be okay. So getting back to that, planting some pansies, you'll have that cool weather color. That way, even though the leaves are changing and you've got some there, you're really going to beautify your landscape.
Nice. Okay. Excellent point. We're headed towards a break. Before we go, we have Aaron Pierce, realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, who has an extensive background in landscaping, lawns, gardening. Would you kindly give us your contact information as a realtor? You're a full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate.
I'm full-time from the time in the morning when I put my shoes on until I go to bed at night. You can call me at the office or also on my cell phone, 570-507-0566.
Thank you, Aaron. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful three-story, six-bedroom home in the heart of Greenridge at 1020 Sunset Street for $175,000. This grand home has beautiful hardwood floors with original woodwork, a brick fireplace, a great wraparound covered porch, and a one-car garage. All of this is on a nice corner lot. It also has stained glass windows. All this house needs is the right owner to restore this property to its full potential. That's a six-bedroom, two-bath home in the heart of Greenridge at 1020 Sunset Street in Scranton for $175,000, and that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Move over, man caves. The she shed is gaining popularity.
Oh, God. Did I say that? I'm so sorry.
Somehow, some way, I knew that was going to be your reaction to this. But listen to this. I find this fascinating in my dreams. Backyard retreats are becoming the latest buzzword in interior designs. It's not happening around this area. I haven't seen it yet, but emerging as a perfectly carved out haven for the woman of the household who seeks a quiet place of her own. You ever see that happening in my life? I don't see that happening.
No, that's funny.
But this is a nice thought. This is a really nice thought. That's why I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. Women are transforming old backyard sheds or even building mini cottages to create a place of relaxation or where they can pursue hobbies such as ceramics, painting, gardening. I like that idea. They are designing these mini sheds with everything from crystal chandeliers. I don't know if I'd go that far. Luxurious furniture, creating top-notch design space with all feminine touches for all that their heart desires. What's the one rule, the only rule? Can you guess?
Keep the kids out? I don't know.
No, but close.
Girls only?
No boys?
No men allowed. That's the one rule. So that's a nice thought. I think you should get building. Build me something out there.
Now, wait. I have a question. If the men are in the man caves down in the basement and the women are moving outside to the she shed,
yes,
the kids just have run of the house? Are we moving away from the kids? What's going on?
That's a good point. This article was from Home Trends by Melissa Tracy, who obviously didn't get any input from Jackie Ruddy. But this is a nice concept, I guess. It's something people are doing somewhere else. It's not happening in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. I could assure you of that. But it's a great, I thought it was a great point to.
It is. That's entertaining.
Yeah,
I love
it's very
that.
Entertaining.
Great.
Yes. I'm thinking about a remote, isolated island. Maybe that's the only place in this world that I'd ever get peace. But no, life is good. And I like being busy and having all the things to do that I do. So it's not going to, I'm not getting a she shed anytime soon. We're headed towards a break. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back shortly.
How do you relax? Maybe it's stretched out in a hammock on the beach, holding an ice cold drink with an umbrella. Maybe it's just sitting next to a stream with a good book. How do you feel relief? That last bite of a perfect meal?
Delicious.
Instant relief from heartburn?
If you use Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, selling your house is actually a relief. Odds are you've got other priorities, like preparing to move for that next big job, downsizing to give yourself a break from all that household maintenance, or handling the home of a loved one who's passed. The last thing you want to worry about are the obstacles of selling a house. And that's where the experienced agents at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can help. Visit us online at jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Or call us today at 570-344-6724 for a free consultation. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Each office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie, again. Are you learning a lot today?
I am. This is a great discussion. We have with us Aaron Pierce, the plant doctor, who's a full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, and we're talking about things outside that we need to do now, so that in the springtime, things grow and flourish and are vibrant and beautiful. And I think we're having a great discussion with you. You know, before the break, I was talking about a she shed, and it's gaining popularity where the woman has an area to go to outside of the home where she can find peace and quiet. That's good.
That's
stuff.
That's entertaining. That's mm-hmm. great.
I just yeah. wanted everybody to know that Pat got the biggest smile on his face whenever we were talking about the she shed, and Jackie, moving on outside. I don't know what happened.
A nice thought for your dreams too, huh, Pat?
Oh, my God.
Now, what we want to talk about, though, is hardscape.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Now, that's a nice lead-in because we've been talking about this new concept, the she shed, which branches out, I'm sure, from the warmer climates. You know, California's a big leader in the outdoor industry because they have a milder climate. Not recently with all the wildfires and everything, but generally to say, because that was where the big movement came from, the outdoor room, where instead of having just a separate patio or deck, you made larger doorways, you moved outside, you had comfortable furniture, they were erecting walls, they put on paintings. It was almost like you were living inside, but it was outside. So it's just an extension of this concept of just everybody moving outside where, you know, I guess we're trying to get back in touch with nature. So, but anyway, there's a lot to take care of for your hardscapes getting ready for winter as well, especially.
Let me ask you something. What's hardscape? For people like me who are not into the...
Okay, in the gardening world, you've got, let's say, the soft texture of foliage. A hardscape is anything that you've got outside that becomes a structure, whether you've built a patio out of pavers or a deck, or, you know, you've built an arbor, or whatever you're doing outside that has to do with large, heavy items instead of a bush, shrub, or tree that would become part of the landscape, but is softer texture.
Oh, okay.
She shed would be hardscape. Okay, moving right along with our hardscape discussion. So what do we need to do?
Okay, now at this time, if you've let anything go from the spring, it's best to get it done now because winter is setting in, and you're going to have a lot of brutal months with moisture, snow, rain, freezing. A lot of these things are going to affect your hardscapes. It can even be as simple as something attached to your house like your gutters. If you have a gutter that hangs over a walkway and you've had that little bit of a leak, you know, this is the time to get up there and caulk that seam in the gutter. That way you don't have an ice issue for later on. Now, moving on with ice, you've got, if you've had any pavers that have moved apart, it's just going to continue to do so because water's going to get down in between them, and it's going to expand when it freezes, and it's going to push on those stones and try and break everything apart. If you haven't done anything with your deck, usually you want to do it in the spring so everything looks nice and fresh if you have to repaint or recoat. If you haven't done it, then again, that winter is going to be brutal on it because that is a protectant that you've put over it. So even though it seems like you're, you know, not going to spend the time out there, in order to take care of your property, you got to get out there and get that done, get them recoated, and you know, so you've got a nice shield against the elements.
So it's a lot simpler than rebuilding in the spring when things are cracking off or deteriorated, so that you have to replace actual portions of it.
It's like your car; you got to do a little preventative maintenance before you're broken down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What should we be doing with all our lawn tools at this point?
Lawn tools are a big thing. People tend to, as colder weather happens, you move it into the shed, you go inside, you forget about it.
Not the she shed.
Not the she shed. You can't have lawn tools in the she shed.
No.
This is the old shed that has not been redone yet. You're going to want to take anything that's gas run, and if you've got a little bit in there, you can run it out. You never want to dispose of gas because it is a toxic mixture. The best thing to do is try and mow that lawn, get the rest of the gas out of your trimmers or your mowers or anything like that, because it's just going to sit there and gather water, and then you're going to try and start it up in the spring, and it's not good for your engine. Same thing with tools. You want to get them all packed away, you know, get them cleaned off of any debris from trimming, any sap. Go ahead and get them oiled up, store them in a nice dry space where they'll be ready to go when you are.
What I do with mine, like my lawnmower and weed whacker, all of that stuff, what I do is I put some fuel stabilizer in there, and I keep it in there. And then in the spring, when the spring comes around, I just pump it a few times, and it usually just starts right up. And if I'm going to do anything now, I'll change the oil in the lawnmower, which is usually neglected, and the spark plug, and next year I'm ready to go and can cut the grass every week.
You know, I have a question, Aaron. When we're in, you know, the dead of winter, ice and snow, or out there with our Quick Joe or rock salt, whatever we use, so that we don't slip and fall and kill ourselves, is that actually damaging our plants?
Yes, it is. We talked last week about Pat's father, who had Hurricane Sandy come through, brought the water levels up, all that salt water affected his plants. The same thing can happen to your plants in your yard, with the exception of the ocean coming in, because if the ocean comes in there, we're all in a lot of trouble.
The plants are the least of your worries.
But anyway, the salt can really affect things. Plants are just not built for that extra salt. Just like our bodies, you add too much salt, it's a bad thing, and they have trouble with it. So when you're sprinkling salt on your walkways, driveway, or when you're shoveling, because you'll still have some salt residue, even though it's been spread out with all the moisture, it's going to kind of concentrate, you know, when it's sitting on the grass. So you want to make sure that you're not shoveling any of that into plant beds, onto trees, anything like that. You know, just around the edges of the grass, focus. Don't use so much salt on the edges. You want to focus in the center where you're going to get, you know, a lot of that dissipation with the snow.
We use salt on the sidewalk next to us. The guy used salt and it skinned it. It really destroyed his concrete. It's all pitted. And my mother-in-law's, it's the same way. So yeah. Salt and concrete don't mix.
They do not mix.
Salt is okay for blacktop, but it's dangerous. It's real bad for the plants.
Yeah, it's bad for the plants. And like you said, it'll pit that concrete. So you want to use a Quick Joe. It's a safer formula. And then also for animals, too. The Quick Joe affects their pads less than salt does. You still don't want to walk your dog, you know, across a bed of it that's been laid out.
Right, and then they bring it in the house. We also, when we had the mason on a couple of months ago, he said to use sand. He said sand is ideal. He says it won't damage anything, and he says it just mixes right in with the dirt. That's what he said to use. So
you're looking for grit. It's all about traction. You know, actually, at times they were using ground up glass because it was rounded granules and they could spread it on the streets and you didn't get slivers. And again, you're just looking for traction.
We had someone who we still don't know. We don't know the identity of the person, but we had someone when we were away 1 year put salt on our old patio, our stamped concrete.
Stamped concrete. They thought they were doing us a favor. They put the salt down, destroyed it.
That's terrible.
It destroyed it.
It wasn't looking so great to begin with, but by the time they got done with it, it was awful.
There was holes in it.
Going back to shutting systems down, taking care of things that we don't use in the winter, what about our hoses and our water spigots outside?
Yeah.
Irrigation systems people have?
Anything that's going to have water in it, when that water freezes, it's going to expand and you're going to get breaks in your drainage lines or in your hoses if you leave them full of water. So what you really want to do is just make sure that as you're shutting things down for the season, detach your garden hoses, you know, just lift them up so you can run all the water out of them. And then that way you can coil them up, store them so they'll be dry. If there's a few drops in it, it's not going to cause a problem. But if you just detach it from the faucet, then all that pressure is still going to have some water left in it from basically the suction, because you're going to have, you know, that water doesn't break and all leak out. You're always going to have a little bit in those coils. Same thing if you've got any kind of sprinkler system, any drip irrigation, you actually, instead of pulling that all up, you're going to need to blow that out. You're going to have somebody come in with a compressor and just shoot all of that water right out of there, get a dry system. And again, that way you just don't have to focus on repairs when you get back to the springtime.
Good point. Excellent.
And then also your faucets, outdoor faucets, people tend to forget about. Hopefully you have a shutoff valve just inside the home, so you can open that faucet up, let it drain, you know, turn the shutoff valve off inside, open the faucet, let it drain, and then you could even just leave that open. That way, if there is any water expansion, it's just going to push out of the open faucet and you don't have to worry about it.
People forget, like you said, and it's nice to have a fall maintenance list. And thank you for reviewing all these different things that we need to be paying attention to during the fall. Full-time realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, with lots of knowledge and extensive knowledge and background in landscaping, gardening, and lawns, Aaron Pierce. Can I have your contact information, please?
Yes, you can reach me at the office or at any time. Real estate-related questions can be contacted at 570-507-0566.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome, Jackie. Thank you.
Pat?
Yes, we have a very nice two-family home at 600 McAlpine Street in Avoca for only $119,000. This double has a two-bedroom apartment on the first floor and a three-bedroom apartment on the second floor. This building is well-maintained, and it has modern kitchens and baths. There is plenty of off-street parking for both units, and there is also ductless air conditioners. The first floor has a very nice covered wraparound porch, and the second floor has a nice deck area. It also has separate utilities and long-term tenants. That's a very nice two-unit at 600 McAlpine Street in Avoca for $119,000, and that is listed by Trish Conway of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have an interesting article from House Logic. No, it's not about the she shed, Pat. I know you're
Thank
looking at
it. God.
You really liked that,
oh,
didn't you?
Oh, my God.
Okay, kitchen fads come and go. Rest in peace, avocado and harvest gold. Could you imagine? Someday they'll be back, I'm sure.
We
but
see
not
them.
Now.
We see them in
we
some
do,
homes.
We do. When it comes to enduring value, the white kitchen is champ. If you're ready for a major kitchen remodel, then you're about to drop some serious cash. The cost versus value report from Remodeling Magazine says the average kitchen redo, just take a guess, how much?
35.
I was going to say 30, yeah.
$57,000.
$57,000 to remodel a kitchen?
That's what they're saying. I think you could do it for a lot less. But
well, that's probably national average.
That is a national.
So you're talking about higher costs.
Yeah, New York City.
So the white has stood the test of time because it's clean and fresh. And this is according to a award-winning designer. Roll back a few years to get a handle on white's popularity. In the 20s and 30s, white was about the only color offered by manufacturers. To paraphrase Henry Ford, you could have your choice of any color.
As long as it's black.
As long as it's white.
Oh, wait, it was black for Ford. You said Henry Ford.
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. White is actually the most popular car color in the world as well.
White has always been associated with sanitation and health. Color therapists tout white's positive vibes. It represents happiness, innocence, and purity. As the brightest color, it reflects light, makes even small kitchens feel spacious. It's the ultimate neutral. Every color looks great paired with white. Light fixtures, cabinet hardware, and tile accents come alive. And because it's a standard color for any manufacturer, it's an ally. You'll find white cabinets, tile, counters, faucets, sinks, and appliances to fit any budget. Snowy cabinets, countertops, and appliances are the perfect backdrop for your favorite colors. You can paint walls, you can open shelves, you can do a lot of things with white. Appliances, although stainless steel has been the finish of choice for more than a decade, white appliances are dominating again. And that's good to know. White is now back in appliances. Glass feels clean, gives white kitchens a pop with adding color. Glass front upper cabinets are winners. Stainless steel color is neutral, but add it carefully is what they're telling us to do today. Today's kitchens are open to living areas, so you don't want to create an uncozy feel or vibe or look with stainless steel, which has a tendency to feel cold. And the downside to white, according to this article and this fashion designer, they can't think of one bad thing. So it seems that white dominates as far as kitchens are concerned. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.